Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
53 degrees, sunny skies in Central Park. We now take you out to the Bronx.
Yeah.
We join the Aaron Boone press conference in progress.
Definitely the timing, just in a lot of ways, it was a tough year to get to the place we wanted to get to as a club. And I really felt like we got there in the final 6, 7, 8 weeks, whatever it was, where everyone was kind of coming together at the right time. I feel like, we had different ways of beating you on a given night. We were healthy for the most part going in, with at least who we started the year with. And then just, ran into a Toronto club that beat us. We couldn't, they ended up scoring a ton of runs against us in the four games that we played them and just couldn't keep them off the board and end up losing a series. So, it makes it very tough. Obviously the year before we get to the World Series, a very different team in a lot of ways than we were this year. Also a very good club that I felt was capable of winning it all. If a couple of things go a different way and, that makes it especially tough. I think when you get to the end, when you feel like, man, you have a team that could have gone deep and could have matched up and played with anyone. But we got beat. And we just had a hard time, obviously, keeping them off the scoreboard in the series. They put it on us from an offensive standpoint, and we didn't have a good enough answer.
And when you reflect on that Blue Jays series, what are the plays, the sequences, the decisions, or even the non-decisions that stay with you the most?
Yeah, look, I think them just continuing to pressure us, and right from the jump, I felt like we're behind in games, and that's in part a big credit to them. They whether it was hitting the ball out of the ballpark against us, whether it was putting the pressure on us by just continuing to work counts and putting the ball in play, they beat us. And just comes down to, they out execute us and outplayed us.
Eric and Andy, to the right.
Aaron, what's your understanding for the recovery time for Volpe? Will he have a normal spring training, or will he come in a little bit behind?
Probably a little behind. The schedule would be for him to start hitting in 4 months, which would put us at, middle of February? So at the start of spring, he'll start hitting. The last thing, but he can't dive on it or anything until 6 months is kind of but I think we'll also have a better idea at the 3-4 months if that timeline moves up a little bit, if it delays a little bit. But right now it's 4 months until he's swinging, until he's hitting again. So my expectation that he would be delayed to start the season or starting a rehab assignment when we're starting the season. But we'll have a better idea of that in probably 3-4 months in as it heals.
And then, to your knowledge, any of your other guys scheduled to have any off-season procedures, specifically Aaron Judge with the elbow?
Judgey is not. He actually had an MRI after the season, showed continued improvement in the flexor muscles. So, and he finished the season doing pretty well. So no surgery is going to be needed for Aaron. He'll take some time off and continue to, do strengthening things and rehab and stuff. But felt like he finished the season in a pretty good place as we saw continued improvements with him. As far as other procedures, Carlos Rodon had a scope of the elbow yesterday to get some loose bodies, and I think they shaved down a bone spur. So he'll go into an 8 week of no throw, which probably when you build in all the ramp up and the throwing program into, you know, getting him ready to be a starting pitcher, probably delays him potentially a couple weeks to start the season. But everything went well yesterday. He had the surgery out in L.A. with Eletrage. And so for now, he's 8 weeks, no throw, and then he'll start his ramping up in the middle of December, his throwing program.
Andy. So given what you just learned about Judge, is there any question at all that he's your full-time right fielder next year? Is there any consideration of any other position?
No, I expect him to be our right fielder, yes.
And then more bigger picture question. It's probably more appropriate after a couple of days to reflect on your season ending. Different seasons ending cause different reactions, emotional reactions. For example, 2019 seemed like a particularly emotional one. How did this one land for you in the room, for the team? I know it was difficult, but what was unique about this particular one?
Yeah, I mean, 19 was tough because, you know, 19 was such a special year in that we were beat up so bad, and it was a lot of people that you didn't expect playing major roles for us. But then, you know, we went into the postseason having a real opportunity. Some real competitive games with Houston that you end up going home. It was tough. Last year, obviously, getting the World Series and it ending the way it did was tough. But again, this year, in a lot of ways, very tough just because of the things I stated down the stretch and even here today is how good I felt about this group and what they became and how much they came together. And you know, I really thought the closeness that they built as a team and how they really played for one another, leaned on each other. But just I felt like the well-rounded nature of our club at the end, you know, made it difficult. You know, there's other years where we had great in 22, but we were a little bit of a shell of ourselves going into the postseason. So it was different. So it's tough because I feel like, you know, we had a really, really great team, and that, you know, adds a level of sting to it that, you know, I carry them all with me, you know. And the ending always hurts. This one for different reasons and for what I felt about this group and what they became.
Can we go right down the line, Ron?
For Volpe, what was the surgery? Was it just repairing the labrum? Was there else who operated?
Yeah, that's why I have my paper here. Left shoulder arthroscopic labral repair. So it's just that, yeah.
And who operated? Was it Ahmad? Or?
Dr. Ahmad.
Okay. And for Stanton, does he need any tests or anything on the elbows?
No, he's in a pretty good place. He'll treat it and everything, but nothing expected for Big G.
And it should be normal, or so you don't have the same worry of last winter?
I don't have that same, but I never want to speak in absolutes like that, but feel like we're in a pretty good spot going into the winter.
Bruce.
Aaron, you said you're capable of winning it all, but how do you make it happen? I know it's, you know, it's in big terms and everything else, but how does this team get over the hump and do what they haven't done since 2009?
Yeah, I mean, it's just playing at the highest level at the most important time. And you've got to maintain that and do that for the entire month of October. You know, whether it's out executing clubs, whether it's just being better than them and on the bump and in the batter's box, it comes down to, you know, this time of year, it's usually, you know, it's competition in a game between high level clubs, and you gotta outplay them, and we haven't done that yet to the highest level.
Chris,
now knowing how serious Volpe's injury was, do you have any second guessing of playing him as often as you did?
No,
and why? Because his production obviously was limited offensively and defensively. After the trade deadline, you had a replacement available on the bench, so why wouldn't you have gone to him knowing just what he was going
through. Yeah, I mean, even going into this winter, like, surgery wasn't a certainty. It was do we do this surgery? And really what it comes down to is we have this time now, and Anthony ultimately deciding, like, because there's things that that he does to it over the course of the year that aggravate it, right? I think for the overwhelming majority of the year, it was not affecting his play. There were things like he would dive on in a certain way, tick it off, aggravate it. I think in some ways the injury probably got a little bit worse towards the end of the year based on a couple of episodes that happened, but I don't think it was impacting performance. And this is something that, you know, you can play with and play through, but the finality of getting it fixed now hopefully frees him up to, like, you know, really go dive on it the way he's going to dive on it and make those next level of plays that Anthony makes. And then hopefully, because you're fixing something that is, you know, hurt on the body, that hopefully, you know, it does help performance too, like go to another level.
Yeah. It was reported that Harkey and Travis Chapman are not coming back. Just what prompted those decisions and any other staff changes that we should be aware of?
Pat Russler too, who's we're still seeing if, you know, there's some other role or whatever, but he will not be back in the same capacity. Just look, every year there's difficult choices to make, and in the case of Chappie, you know, has done a lot of great things in this organization through player development and then coming up and impacting our club up here. So those are hard decisions. In the case of Mike Harkey, a guy who's been here for so long, and has been, you know, kind of an institution with us and has been in the middle of a lot of winning with us and has impacted our organization in tremendous ways and is one of my best friends. You know, so those are awful days to go through. And both guys that I have a ton of respect for, and ultimately the organization needs to make difficult decisions sometimes as, you know, you move forward as an organization. So, you know, we'll – and then we obviously have a couple of guys that are interviewing for managerial jobs out there. So we'll see how that impacts, obviously, you know, if they're moving on by chance, you know, how that impacts us. Obviously we'd have to replace certain things, but, you know, we've got a couple of spots for right now that we have to replace. And we'll see moving forward if there's more.
Just following up on that, is Jake Hurst joining the
staff? Jake Hurst will be, yes. Jake Hurst, who's been in player development, I think, since 18, whether it's been in a coordinator's role or at affiliate, you know, has really had a lot of success in our organization and has earned this opportunity. Another guy that was, you know, had some big league opportunities with other clubs that, you know, we had to make some decisions on and move on rather quickly. So excited that we'll be adding Jake to the staff, to our hitting group.
That's assistant hitting coach.
What's that?
That's assistant hitting coach.
Yeah, he'll be one of the assistants. Yeah.
Thanks.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Dave.
Aaron, after eight years of doing this job, I assume you consider yourself a better manager now than you were when you started. I'm just wondering, how frustrating is it for you personally that you haven't been able to get this team where you've wanted it to go? And what have you done since then, since the season has ended, maybe talking with Cash, or maybe what you've thought about that you can do better as a manager going forward?
I mean, you certainly reflect hit your touch points. You know, I've talked to Cash a lot. Kind of lick your wounds here these last few days. Kind of, yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, I do think I'm much better. Like, I look back at this year and think, you know, obviously we needed to win one more game to win the division. And, you know, so I think back to, you know, the time where we went through a stretch where we were really struggling. And, you know, like I feel like just because we were really beat up in the bullpen and not whole, and it was obviously before we made the deals at the deadline, like could I have been more creative in some of the things, you know, that I could have done in those games in the middle of the season where, you know, we were a little short, frankly. But, you know, should I have been a little more bold with some ideas and thoughts that, you know, maybe help net us a game here along the way. You know, I think that's what eats at me a little bit. So then, you know, as you start to go forward in the winter, you have these conversations and you start to build and mold your team, and try and think of ways where you can get better and improve. And then obviously how your roster takes shape, you know, kind of determines what kind of team you're going to mold it into trying to be. So this year was different in that we became a much more athletic, I feel like, well-rounded group. And hopefully that continues to be the case, but also where we add the right pieces that, you know, help us do get over that hump.
BT and Sal on right, the fan, you're right. Listening to Aaron Boone's year-end press conference.
Volpe is your starting shortstop going into next year?
Yeah. I mean, he's right in the mix to do that. So I think one of the things that I'm proudest about for Anthony is, you know, obviously it was a very tough season, you know, for him in a lot of ways. And I think he got a lot of, you know, arrows thrown his way. And I always feel like he handles those things so well. And really for the first time since he's been here, because I think it's important to know like how good a defender he's been. And he went through a stretch of 4 to 6 weeks where he struggled on that side of the ball. He made some, you know, errors that he shouldn't have made, some key spots where he made some mistakes. I think it's really important to note that how well he played on defense the final eight weeks of the season, very much in line with who he's been in the 3 years that he's been our shortstop. So the defense, I feel like, really returned to a level that we've come to know with Volpe after going through some tough moments there in the middle of the season. You know, the offense is, you know, really in line with what he's done the first 2 years. It's looked a lot of different ways, but you kind of look up the same, and it's been that kind of same OPS, whether the average has been lower, there's been more power in some years. You know, for him to become, you know, that frontline shortstop, you know, that's got to improve. You know, he understands that. We understand that. And hopefully he has that opportunity to continue to do that. I also think it's important to note, and we talk about this around different players and different things throughout the year, like he's 24 years old. There's a lot of guys, first picks, we see in this game all the time. It's just not this linear trajectory all the time where you get to the big leagues and you're the guy that's supposed to be. And, you know, the reality is he's a really talented player that works his butt off, that has tremendous makeup, tremendous toughness, and is a great person in our room. And I'm going to bet on that. You know, that said, it hasn't happened, offensively speaking, to the level it needs to yet. But doesn't mean it won't get there. You know, I think Zill and I were talking, you know, Dansby Swanson, who's become obviously one of the game's great, you know, very similar start to his career offensively. It doesn't always just happen right away. So continue to work alongside him and hopefully, you know, get him to that point. But we'll see how the roster takes shape though this winter, and, you know, see where we go.
Pete and Jorge.
Aaron, do you see Jason Dominguez being more or less an everyday player for you next season? And how would you assess how he handled the second half where he didn't play all that much?
Yeah. I would expect him to be right in that mix, to be that guy, and still really like his ceiling. I think he did a lot of really good things this year. As far as handling, but again, you got to see where the winter takes you and what the roster looks like. I expect him to be a regular player for us, though. I think he did a lot of really good things this year. I think, obviously, defensively, left field continues to be a work in progress. That being said, I think he's made tremendous strides out there as well. And I think we can all envision him becoming a very good defender out there, just with his athleticism, his speed, his arm strength, the work he's put into it. So we saw strides there. I think we all see the ability he presents at the plate from both. He didn't hit for massive power this year, but I think we would all acknowledge, feel like the power's in there. You know, he's a guy that can hit the ball and drive it out to all fields from both sides of the plate. Right-handed, obviously continues to be a side of the plate that he needs to continue to improve on. But I think a lot of that has to do with his lack of experience. Being a very young man, he hasn't played a ton of minor league seasons just through different injuries and stuff, which where's that affected the most? The right side of the plate where you get less at bats. I do feel like he has the ability right-handed. It's his natural side. You watch him, just in BP and things like that. He's got power the other way. It's very similar. I think it's just an experience thing, but I think he has a chance to really hit. I think he has a chance to become a good defender as well. That's the area he's got to improve on the most, though. We saw really the impact he can have on the base paths. You know, I think he became more than just fast. I think he got better and better at stealing bases, and that became, he was a big part of, why we became more well-rounded and more versatile with his ability to do that. As far as how he handled things, great. JD's a really good teammate, and if you're around, you guys that are around him every day, he's got an amazing way about him and disposition about him. He's always kind of the same guy. There's a real consistency in who he is, whether he's going really great and doing great or whether he's losing playing time at the end of the year and down the stretch. He was ready to go every day. He was prepared every day. And he was more, just as important, the same person and teammate every single day. And that's something that I admire about him. But, there's improvement to be had there for him. He knows that. But I think this season showed us that we can still very much dream on the kind of high-end player we think he could be.
Corey, will Jason play winter ball by any chance?
I think that's the hope, yes. So we haven't finalized anything yet, but hoping that, he does play some winter ball.
And just back to Volpe, can you shed some light on the maintenance that was required with this injury, the work with the training room? What was happening behind?
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
In the scenes and... How was his communication with you in terms of the pain that he felt? What was he going through?
Yeah, good. I think communication with the trainers and with me was really good. So it really, most days, was not impacting him in any way. There were a couple of incidents in the course of the year, the one in May where he dove. There were a couple other of those late in the year that aggravated it, whether it be diving on it or something. But for the most part, he was in a good spot. Now, I think towards the end, he was protecting on certain ways he wouldn't dive on it. But as far as I think swinging the bat and, you know, moving around, I don't think it was a big issue. You know, that being said, hopefully the fact that he has got this fixed does hopefully help, you know, it just in his overall performance, that, you know, whether that little bit on the margins that, you know, as being that much more healthy, hopefully impacts his performance too.
And just with Jason, with running the ball, do you guys see him as a center fielder? You guys see him as where do you guys see him in your outfield?
See him in left.
And yeah, that's where he'll play in running ball.
Yeah.
Take a few more. Chris, you had one. Joel.
Do you have an update on Garrett and his recovery process?
Yeah, Garrett's doing well. He will, I think he starts getting off the mound a little bit lightly next week. And then I think he'll have a, at some point here in the next few weeks, he'll have a deload back off session. He'll meet with Eletrage again when he goes back to California, probably sometime next month, and then before spring training. But he's on track to hopefully, you know, at some point in spring training, hopefully we'll see him on the mound starting to face live hitters and start that progression and that ramp up. But so far, everything's going according to plan.
Is he in play for opening day?
I wouldn't say, no, not opening day. But, you know, hopefully not too far after.
Joel.
Clark's also doing well. I think he's 14 weeks post-op, so I think he'll start his throwing program in mid-December. I don't know what the final timeline, you know, he's more second half of the season, obviously, but yeah, he's doing well.
Aaron, you said something like you have to outplay them, you know, at that time of year, and mm-hmm. you haven't yet. And you've offered something like that pretty much each time we're in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
What would make people believe that a team put together by the people who have been putting this team together, managed by you, with Judge as a centerpiece, will ever actually figure out a way to get to the finish line first?
I don't know. I mean, the reality is we've had a really, really good club in certain years, probably one of the best clubs in the league. But all I know is it's time to dust ourselves off and try and build another club that puts us in position to take a run again. So, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I think we have a lot of really good people here, both a lot of really good players, a lot of really good staff members, and a great front office that are working our tails off to put us in the best position to take our shot every year and to take a run in October and to get to October baseball and play for it. So, you know, I can't answer that because I haven't got this team to the top of the mountain. So until I do, all I can tell you is I'm confident in my ability to lead this team. I'm confident in our organization to build the team that gives us a chance to win. But ultimately, that's, you know, I can't tell you anything to make you feel good that, you know, ultimately it's about us winning number 28. And all I can tell you is I'm working my butt off to try and be a part of helping us bring that back.
Oh, Gary.
With Ben, do you see him as your first baseman next year, or would he continue in this kind of unique hybrid role where he's catching sometimes too?
Yeah, I definitely see him as that first baseman. But again, like, I don't know where's our roster go this winter. So, you know, does he become that, our first baseman and our third catcher? Is he our second catcher? Like, I don't know yet, but I know we feel like we've got obviously a true middle of the order bat that's also capable of catching. But again, we'll see where the roster goes. The one good thing is, you know, for as good a hitter as he's become, and, you know, we feel like going to be one of our anchors in the middle. You know, he brings some flexibility with him, which when you go into the winter and you're trying to build a team and build a roster out, you know, those that flexibility is important and helpful and of value. So, you know, we'll see how it shakes out. The one thing I expect is that, you know, he'll be a key cog in the middle of our lineup day in and day out.
So last one, Ron.
As you watch all these other games on TV now and look at those teams, do you see anything that they have that you would want for this team to get to that level, or is it just a matter of what you have executing in the big spots?
I mean, I'm envious that obviously when teams are still playing, you know, that's, you know, they're down to the final four and you're not one of them that, but there's certain qualities about every team that are real strengths. You know, every team even going still has some weaknesses, right? You know, ultimately it's about trying to accentuate your strengths and mask some of your weaknesses or improve on some of those weaknesses. But then it comes down to execution in these games between, you know, excellent clubs. So, every year's different, every club's different, you know, every journey and circumstances are different. You're trying to optimize your group as much as you can and get the most out of guys as much as you can. And it doesn't have to look one way. It doesn't have to, you know, there's teams that win it all, you know, with certain overwhelming strengths. There's certain teams that win it all with, you know, very few weaknesses. I think there's a lot of different ways to do it. A lot of different ways to build your team to put yourself in that position. And you have to have that flexibility year in and year out going into the winter as you build your team to try and be that team that's the last standing.
Is the beard something new that's staying or just for this week?
No, it's just winter.
All right, thanks, Aaron.
Yep. All right, so there you have it with Aaron Boone. That was the appetizer. The main event will be Brian Cashman. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Interesting. Pretty interesting stuff here. We're going to obviously get to it all. So what are we doing? We're going to keep it. We're going to get a break here. We'll react to it more, as Sal said, obviously get to Cash coming up next on the Fan.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.